Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. On today's show, we're joined by Kyle Berry, investor, sustainability and climate tech advocate, 2 times TEDx speaker, a vegan triathlete. Kyle is the founder and managing partner of Mission One Capital, which is an early stage venture capital firm focused on sustainability and climate tech startups. Previously, Kyle built the venture arm for Grammy Award-winning rock band Linkin Park, leading investments in companies such as Lyft, Robinhood, Impossible Foods, among others. He started his career at JP Morgan Investment Banking, working in mergers and acquisition. After graduating from UPenn, he also studied at Harvard and the University College of London. He was also appointed to the technology advisory boards for both New York City and Delta Airlines. Today, we're going to talk about how his new fund is solving for humankind's sustainability on our planet and the billions of dollars that are flowing into more sustainable strategies. So let's get after it. Kyle, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me. Excited to chat.
It was really fun to catch up beforehand. It really does feel like 100 years ago that we all had dinner together pre-pandemic.
I know, right? We're in a time warp right now.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive right in. So can you tell everyone about Mission One Capital, why you founded it, and what you're hoping to accomplish?
So Mission One Capital is an early stage venture capital fund, and we're focused on really solving for 3 existential threats, and those 3 being climate change, resource depletion, and inequality. So let me unpack that a little bit. So climate change, obviously the warming of the planet due to CO2 emissions. So we're seeing now all these different weather patterns and floods and wildfires that are happening. The second one, resource depletion. So as there's population growth, there's going to be population growth, as well as people coming from the lower class into the middle class, is going to be a strain on what we deem to be finite resources. So land, water, air, energy. And then the third one being inequality. So, as we continue to go digital or meta for that reason, the people who have resources and those who need access to them will continue to widen. So that gap will continue to widen. The key differentiator for my fund is that I'm not just focused on climate, but I'm also tackling kind of the inequality gap, which really seeks the solutions around, mobile first fintech, distributed education, and distributed healthcare tools for the 99%. And so I'm focused on funding those founders who are really solving those large problems. And ultimately, as we say, you play these big games, you get big prizes. And so we're looking to find that the real financial upside in solving for these existential threats.
I love that. So, I think it's probably obvious, but why now? Both from the environmental necessity or survival standpoint, but also, the financial return aspect of this.
100%. So now is exactly why, in my mind. To your point about the financial side, Larry Fink wrote a really interesting note in his annual letter, 2021 annual letter that just came out. And he says that the next, $1,000 billion startups are going to come in decarbonization and really helping with the energy transition and making that more affordable to people and to the masses. And so, for me, I think I agree with that. And also, in addition to that happening, I think there's 3 real big shifts that are happening right now that make it really poignant and really a great opportunity. One being, I'll say, the government and the shifts around the government. 2 being corporations and their perception and sentiment. And the third one being the financial sector. So from the government side, coming out of COP26 and the IPCC report, really all these fancy acronyms to say that, the government's making declarations toward getting to net zero, as well as putting capital behind getting there, both at the international level, the national level, and at the local level, which is really interesting. On the corporation side, you're starting to see corporations, whether it be from, their consumers, especially the younger generation, or whether it be from their investor base on the activist side or others, especially with the you know, the ESG boom that's really happening, or really corporates themselves realizing that they want to align their business with their values. You know, we're starting to see a lot of really big pledges around getting to a net zero footprint. And then again, like putting billions of dollars to work and actually putting their money where their mouth is to do that. And then in the financial sector, which is most interesting to us, again, in the public sector, we're seeing billions of dollars. And I think there was a doubling of money that was going into sustainable investing practices in 2021 in the public market. But then in the private market, let me just give you a sense here where I play in the VC side of things, and I'll give you some numbers. So climate tech now makes up about 14 cents of every dollar that's going into VC investing today. You know, that's coming up from about 5 cents of every dollar in 2020. So there's a huge exponential growth happening there. And then also what's really interesting for me is that we can start to point to significant successes in this space. So, you know, of the 50 some odd unicorns that are deemed to be climate tech, about half of them all happened and became unicorns last year. So this is massive growth that's happening in climate tech investing, and not just in mobility, not just in EV and electric vehicles, but also in things like food waste and energy storage and vertical farming. And so there's a broadening and diversification as well in this space, which is really exciting.
I'll speak briefly to the corporate side. I mean, I was on a call yesterday with somebody who, I'll paraphrase what they said, but it was they're a 150-year-old company. It wasn't built to be sustainable. They didn't even know what it was 150 years ago, but they know if they're going to be around for the next 100 years, that they have to rethink their entire process and make this a mission one, like focus. And so I thought it was pretty cool. They said mission one the day before I talked to you, but you know, it's true. Like on the corporate side, it's something they've got to move towards. And we're certainly seeing it on the investor and startup side, but you know, question sustainability is number one, if not top two trends from every corporate we talk to. So let me ask you this. So you're focusing, you mentioned on the sort of seed and Series A investments, which for anyone that doesn't know, that's the early stage of investing. Why did you decide that that's where you wanted to focus the fund?
So I think that's really interesting. I think seed and Series A is really where the gap of funding is needed right now. And so, you know, that's where the most critical capital needs to happen for companies to, you know, cross the chasm to actually get commercialization and scale. And ultimately, from an investor standpoint, you know, earlier stage, you know, gives you the opportunity to reap the biggest rewards from the financial side as well. I think PwC had an interesting report out that kind of talked about the capital flows and where they're flowing in terms of stage in climate tech. And you're seeing that at kind of Series B plus, there's a glut of capital really that started to, you know, aggregate there from the, you know, TPGs of the world, the Blackstones and the KKRs. And so what we know then at the earlier stage is that if we're able to find successful companies that can graduate to the Series B, then there's growth capital there to help them. So I think that's why I want to go in early. And then what I'll add is that, you know, why not maybe at the pre-seed side, although I do want to start to go earlier over time. You know, in climate tech, what's interesting is that the types of companies that get created, and this has been changing, but the type of companies that are getting created often have a lot of technical risk at the pre-seed stage. So they may be in the R&D labs and laboratories or kind of in the white paper black hole from standpoint where, you know, they don't have line of sight to commercialization. They don't look like traditional B2B or B2C models that I can understand. So for me and my fund, I'm coming in at the seed and Series A makes a lot of sense.
Love it. One thing I thought was really interesting was that you're not just focusing on sustainability. You've carved out in your thesis specifically sustainability that uses frontier technology. I would love your thinking on that as an added layer or added area of focus for you as you go into the space.
For sure. And I think that really comes from both, you know, my generalist background, having seen those technologies proliferate in the general market of venture capital. But I think also from a lot of the research that I did before I went into the space on, you know, why the clean tech boom in the mid 2000s may have had a bad rap, you know, just to give some perspective. So back then, a lot of venture capital dollars went into clean tech 1.0, as they call it, and really went into helping with the energy transition. A lot of those dollars went into things like solar and wind and heavy industry. which is, you know, where if you were to force rank on the science side, where the biggest impact would be or where the largest GHG emissions might be, you know, that's kind of where a lot of the dollars you would deem to be going. However, you know, they weren't really successful because those types of companies really needed things like infrastructure spending and public finance spending and other types of regulatory approvals in order to get scale and to really kind of get that VC type return arc, which wasn't there. And I think now, which is really different and why frontier technology is starting to really be on a collision course with climate tech, because you're seeing things like AI and machine learning, you know, 5G, leveraging of micro satellites, IoT, and even blockchain really start to intersect with climate tech. And so now we're seeing founders that are leveraging these new technologies, you know, and really kind of applying that to climate tech. And so they're creating business models that, you know, just wouldn't have been possible 5-10 years ago.
I love it. So of the investments and things you're looking at, is there an area or a company that you're particularly excited about or you think would be most relevant for our audience?
So I think, as an angel, I've made a number of investments solely in this thesis. And I think, one great one for your audience that I'd love to point out, you know, and when you think about how large corporations can really play a role here, you know, they can be a customer, they can be a commercial partner with a lot of these startups. And so a startup called Sway right now is using seaweed to create a polymer that will replace single-use plastic. And so the big innovation there is that they're obviously leveraging seaweed that sequesters up to 20 times more carbon than trees, is biodegradable, is home compostable, but more importantly, can fit within existing supply chains. I think that's really interesting. And for your audience, you know, we are currently, you know, looking for brand partners partner within this space, from whether it be fashion or cosmetics or premium luxury brands or outdoor apparel companies, to really, you know, partner with us to bring some of these technologies to their customers. We're already in discussions with folks like Target, Walmart, and CVS via closed loop partners, partnership and others. And really it's around kind of using seaweed or using an alternative material to replace single-use plastic, which we all could agree definitely don't need more of that, right? So, yeah. So I think that'd be one to point out.
Very interesting. So speaking of sort of the large companies, you know, at Venture Fuel, what we do, right? We accelerate innovation at large organizations through collaborations with startups, like you just described. And I know you're no stranger to large companies from all that you've done with everyone from Viacom to JP Morgan and Delta. So if you had advice for any of the big company folks that are listening, what do you think large organizations need to do in order to drive meaningful change and positive impact in the space? Is there an opportunity for them to collaborate with startups to make impact?
I think there's 100% a role for large corporations to play. And actually, they can play a real critical role here. So two ways they can really be helpful. And then from their standpoint, see an opportunity here is, one, they can, you know, be a strategic investor. So they could create dedicated pools of capital to really invest into startups that are strategic in nature to their business. So to help them learn and ultimately to help them partner with those companies so they can be more innovative as the market continues to move forward into the sustainability space. And then two, the other way they can be helpful is really to be a customer, to be a commercial partner, you know, because, you know, obviously if they're trying to find ways to understand their carbon footprint or manage their supply chain or offer new innovative sustainable products to their consumer base, they can partner with startups that have really done a lot of the R&D work for them and really partner with startups to both bring that to their customer base. So that's great for the corporate, but then for the startups, and obviously, you know, great for portfolio companies that I'll have, is that, you know, we can find traction, which can ultimately help us bring the cost down, and it's a win-win for everyone. So I think corporations have a massive position that they can play here.
So I have a question for you that is about sort of maybe philosophy or emotional response to this. Every time I start thinking about sustainability and the future of the planet, I start to, I don't want to say get depressed, right? But there's so many daunting hurdles to get past here. My question for you is, you know, you have two kids now. I have a kid now since we first met. We're looking out into the future. Are you optimistic about our ability to sort of right the ship here and create something that is going to work for the long term?
I mean, you know, it's a great question. And depending on what book or author I'm reading or article that I'm reading, to your point, you can definitely easily get swayed back and forth. But ultimately, we better be optimistic. You know, I'm optimistic, but I'm definitely a pragmatist. You know, when it comes to the climate problem, I think there are a number of smart minds focused on the area. And, you know, I think that once we get to a point where people see not only the problems, but really the financial opportunity, that'll give the right incentives for people to start investing in the space. But then also on the inequality side, I think we've made a lot of strides as it comes to inequality. But, you know, COVID, to your point, has really set us back again. So, for example, you know, Flint, Michigan, the public schools are indefinitely closed. So, you know, because of the pandemic, and now everyone's going to have to go online. And so some of the questions that start to come up in my mind are, you know, do those kids have adequate internet access? Have these public schools invested in remote learning software? And so those questions, which brings me back to the optimistic standpoint, that's an opportunity for it to be solved by technology. And so startups that are tackling, you know, this inequality, leveraging whether it be mobile first learning platforms, et cetera, you know, really could benefit and really bring a solution which can be financially lucrative to those startups as well. And so it's my job to find those startups that are solving for those problems.
Or those startups that might want you to invest in them, or on the flip side, investors that may want to invest in your fund. Where's the best place to go find you and learn more?
Sure. So for anyone that wants to connect with me, I can be reached Kyle Berry, as long as you spell it correctly, on LinkedIn or Twitter. And then, or you can shoot me an email. I'm at kyle@mission1.capital.
And just for anyone that's listening, it is Kyle, K-I-E-L, just in case you don't have a computer in front of you or the screen as you're looking. It is a pleasure reconnecting with you. I did not even get a chance to ask you about your vegan Ironmans. That's our next episode. We're going to go deep on that. But sincerely, thank you for your time and for all you're doing to spark change. It's really exciting.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Wanted to bring to your attention an event that we are hosting at the end of this month. It will be on Thursday, February 24th at 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. It's around the future of fintech, and specifically some of the issues that Kyle talked about today will be explored. If you go to Venture Fuel on LinkedIn, you will find all the details for the event, or just ping us on LinkedIn and we will get back to you with free tickets to attend. We have everyone from the executive director, the Blockchain Association, to VCs, to large corporates that will be discussing the future of fintech, and we will touch on equality as part of that. So hope you get to join us. And of course, next week, we'll be back with a new episode of the Venture Fuel Visionaries podcast.